60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Inside Hockey, brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Check your blood pressure after the game. Visit Co-op pharmacies to receive free health and wellness advice.
Dallas Stars are the next opponent for the Calgary Flames, top team in the Western Conference, hottest team in the National Hockey League, and very pleased to have join us this afternoon is their head coach, Lindy Ruff. Lindy, how are you today, sir?
I'm well, Rob. How are you?
Excellent. Before we get into the meat of the matter, I saw you guys practicing at the Corral today. Did you ever play in the Corral with Buffalo?
Yeah, I did play in the Corral with Buffalo way back when. One of the players, being a little smart, said, was this building new when you first played in it? I said, no, but I broke my femur in that building my draft year, too.
Oh, in junior with Lethbridge?
Yeah, in junior with Lethbridge. So I tried to stay out of that area of the ice today.
Yeah, it's got to be a little weird trying to explain to your players that that was an actual NHL building at one point.
Yeah, there's no doubt there, but a lot of good hockey players come out of there.
Lindy, to this season, I'm curious, from a coaching standpoint, how much do you think your run at the end of last year laid the foundation for this year? Is there any correlation, any relation, do you think?
I think there's a big correlation to the way we're playing now and really the last 3 months of last season where, you know, we had a very good record, but just came up short. We ended up chasing that eighth spot the whole year and didn't quite get in.
Did much change then over this summer for you in terms of your team approach, or was it, you know, essentially the same as last year and you just hit the ground running?
Well, I think there's always some adjustments when you go through your post-year review, and we made more adjustments defensively on how we wanted to play. We spent a lot of time preseason going through what we wanted to do 3-on-3 to be ready for that. But on the defensive side of it, we wanted to get a commitment from our core guys on how we needed to play the game. And if our core guys played the game the right way, everybody else would follow.
Lindy, I don't think I've ever asked a coach this. How much did the play of some of your core guys last year, the big seasons that Ben had, kind of Klingberg's kind of coming out, did that impact how you altered some of the things you were doing as a team?
Well, I think we felt we had a special player in Klingberg just for his puck movement and what he was doing offensively. There was a little bit of an adjustment on the risk taking and when to take it, but he's one heck of a player, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that he can do that a lot of other defensemen can't do. So he's got a little bit of slack when it comes to the amount of rope he takes every game, and he's helped us win a lot of games. He's helped us on the offensive side, and he's been a very good defender. So I think when we looked at where we could be, we felt we could still tighten up defensively as a team, but almost be as good offensively if we maintained that core group.
What is it about the Klingbergs, the Oliver Ekman-Larsens, the Carlsons right now? What is it about Swedish defensemen? What are they doing right over there?
Well, for me, you got to be able to skate first in this game. If you're going to create offensive, you got to be able to skate. And these guys are dynamic skaters. Carlson can get up in the rush, and Klingberg can get up in the rush, and then it's just the vision. It's the ability to have ice in your veins. And if you looked at our game-tying goal against the Minnesota Wild the other night, the move he put on just stationary on a defender coming at him while he was holding on the puck at the blue line to juke him and walk the line and get the shot through a quick wrist shot through traffic, there's not many players that can do that. So it's a combination of skating. It's that great vision to find holes and make plays. And at the same time, you've got to have real good feet. He's got a little bit of that 10 to 2, that lateral movement that a lot of players don't have.
Lindy, I don't profess to know a lot about the young man. I'm just curious about, from a coaching standpoint, is he an easy player to pair up with somebody, or do you have to find the right partner to play with him?
No, we really haven't spent much time on who we pair him up with. the guy that he's played the most with has been Goligoski, and we originally paired him with Alex because we wanted a good veteran guy, a guy that just had a good two-way game, and they've clicked you know, since the day we put them together, and they've stayed together pretty well the whole time. But you know, we feel we can play this young man in any situation. I like his defending. He plays against the top lines every night, which is an attribute for a young defenseman that not a lot of guys have the luxury of operating night in, night out, playing against other teams' top lines. That's usually for a veteran pair or a veteran defender that you're looking to shut down the other team's top lines.
In conversation with the head coach of the Dallas Stars, Lindy Ruff, here on Inside Hockey. Tell me about Jamie Benn when you met him for the first time as taking over in Dallas and to the player that he's become now. What's happened? What's changed? Or has anything changed, Lindy?
I think lots of things have changed. First, I got to confess, I didn't know a lot about him, not even his personality. I knew from watching some film that he was talented, that he could make a great plays, had a good wrist shot, could be physical. But he has really changed. He's really come into his own. He's a lot more confident person. He was maybe a little bit more reserved when I first met him a couple of years ago, quiet. Mm-hmm. Since being named captain, you know, first and foremost, he's taken the lead on the ice and tried to lead in every category. And really, he's the guy that carries the message for this team, and he does it in so many different ways. But now his personality is starting to come out. He's a little bit more vocal. I wouldn't classify him as a rah-rah guy, but I would classify when he speaks, everybody listens to him. And he's not afraid to get vocal when the time is needed.
Of all the skills and all the attributes in hockey that we talk about developing, what about leadership? Is that an easy thing for him to develop? I mean, some of it's got to be natural, doesn't it?
I believe some of that is natural. I believe some of that is living through experiences and living through some mistakes and living through some tough times and using that to become better. And I think, you know, for me, our experience last year was a big test for our team to live through not making it and see what players and what leadership was going to rise for us. And, you know, he definitely took to heart that, you know, we needed to play a stronger defensive game, that it started with him and some of the top players. And he's been the leader in that category. And I think some of that is maturity, is getting a little bit older, and some of that is tasting some of the success we had the first year, and now I think he's put the whole package together.
In many ways, is that a similar story for Sagan? Has he followed kind of that same path, having to learn those things? And I mean, he came from Boston and had a little experience there with the Stanley Cup, but has he had a similar path under you?
Yeah, you know, I believe that. You know, Tyler is as young as he was when he went to Boston and to win a Stanley Cup at that age. And, you know, when leaving Boston, he had this desire to, you know, he wanted to play center. He didn't want to play the wing. He wanted to be that guy in the middle of the ice. And, you know, through last year, it became, you know, really working hard on his defending and his play down low, when it came to playing center in his own end, and I think he's come a long ways. He realizes that he has to play a strong two-way game if he's going to be playing against top lines, and I think that's something that he's wrapped his arms around, and he's starting to mature with that and just keeps getting better.
Tell me about the influence of Patrick Sharp and even Johnny Oduya. I mean, two guys, again, here talking about Stanley Cups, but guys with three of them very recently. How have they impacted your dressing room, Coach?
Well, I think the thing I've been most impressed with is these two guys, because of the culture they've been around, they don't get too high when we win, and their ability to put the game away when we've lost. And the games that our players have seen to get pretty excited about winning a game, to them it's almost, let's move on, we haven't won anything yet. And They both know that if you're going to win a championship, that you have to play the game the right way, that your best players have to play the game the right way. And They've been tremendous inside the room. Johnny's the type of guy that can play 25 minutes a game. He knows how to defend in every situation, and he reads the ice really well. And when forwards aren't supporting defensemen, he's right there to let them know. And I think on the other side of it, a guy like Patrick Sharp, he's a dynamic skater. He's got a great shot. Mm. He's the guy that can, score that key goal at a key time. And when you come from that winning culture and you put those guys in the room, it helps the other guys that haven't been around, even a playoff victory or a playoff series that you've won.
Lindy Ruff's the head coach of the Dallas Stars. He's our guest on Inside Hockey here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Just a couple of more. I'm curious about your young Russian, Valery Nichushkin. I know he was hurt last year. What do you have there, Lindy, or are you still trying to figure out what he is?
Well, I believe we've got a great young player that if he wouldn't have missed a year, I think he'd be ahead of where he's at now. His last probably two and a half, 3 weeks of play have been where he was at 2 years ago. He's dominating the play down low. He's a guy that can't be knocked off the puck a lot of times. He's made plays against some of the biggest men in the game. The game in Boston, he was in on the winning goal where really out-muscled Chara on the play and made a great play in the offensive zone. And he's been a little bit snake bit when it comes to scoring goals. He had a goal post again in Minnesota, but he's getting two or three of those grade A chances that I think it's just a matter of time before this guy busts out for us.
You know that you've got these high-profile players, Ben Sagan, Klingberg, they're all points, and whenever you come to a place like Calgary, we always want to ask about this. But I'm always curious about the player that doesn't necessarily get the recognition outside of the borders of Dallas. Is there a player, Lindy, that people should be talking about with the Dallas Stars and the success you've had this year that maybe we don't appreciate from afar?
Well, I think there's, if you wanted to look at a guy at up front for us that, plays in a lot of key situations and is a guy I look to defend a lot of the tougher situations would be Cody Eakin. And offensively, he's having a nice year. He's on pace to score 20-plus goals. But he's the type of guy that he's on the power play. He's on the penalty killing. And he's a centerman that can play against anybody. So, if you want to look at a forward, he would probably be the guy on the back end, the guy that we play with Klingberg, Alex Goligoski is really for me. He's been the guy that he's been steady, not the biggest defender, but seems to find ways to always defend hard with situations against bigger people and win those one-on-one battles. So I think you need those type of players to help carry your team.
Well, my last question for you, and it's a coaching question. How have you found the 3-on-3 overtime? What do you like about it? Are you still adapting to it? What's that change been like from you from a coaching perspective?
Well, from a coaching perspective right now, we've had a lot of success with it through preseason and regular season here. We haven't lost in the 3-on-3. I think the skill of our team, we've been able to generate or really out-generate the opposition when it comes to chances. We've created more odd-numbered situations from breakaways to two-on-ones, and I think the defending part of it, we've done a real good job. I think through the regular season now, we've only given up four shots in the three or four overtime games we've been in, so It has been, dynamic when it comes to excitement. The game in Dallas that we won before we left to go to Minnesota was end-to-end action and some great saves. And then the game in Minnesota, we had two 2-on-1s. We had a breakaway. And again, it's one of those ones where, the fans get to see a lot of action. And I think it plays into our hockey club.
Really appreciate this, Coach. Thank you for giving us some of your time. Congratulations on the success so far and continued success. And looking forward to seeing you guys on the ice here at the Dome tomorrow night.
No, thank you.
Lindy Ruff, the head coach of the Dallas Stars, joining us on Inside Hockey. That is a real good hockey club right now. You look at them, 19-5-0. Maybe the most impressive part is they're 10-2 on the road. They have Benn and Sagan and Klingberg. And I was looking at their numbers. You might make the accusation that they're a little top-heavy when it comes to points. I guess you could say that. You know, you've got four guys that are 20-plus points, and then, you know, just a couple of guys that are in the double digits and a lot of single points. But don't discount Cody Eakin, and don't discount the impact of Jason Spezza. You know, you heard the coach talk about Eakin and what he's brought and Goligoski. It's funny to me that, you know, I remember a couple years ago, Goligoski was a healthy scratch for the Dallas Stars. They just couldn't get it to work. It wasn't working. He was in the trade rumors and all of that, and now seems to have found a nice partnership in John Klingberg, who I'm really excited about seeing. I just haven't seen enough live views of this guy. You know, he didn't play the entire season last year, but when he came up, he was on an incredible pace. There's a lot of people that thought he should have been in the Rookie of the Year conversation. He wasn't, but he's just picked up where he's left off. This Dallas Stars team struggled for a number of years, you know, fits and starts. Missed the playoffs last year after making it the year before. But you heard Lindy Ruff talk about it, that, you know, last year was, you know, important in terms of setting the tone for this year. And you know, the Flames had that same conversation last year. The one thing that I thought was really neat, and I appreciate the fact that Lindy was forthcoming with it, was just kind of talking about that they did adjust some things. That, you know, they talked to their players and they talked to their core group and they said, okay, you got to be accountable to these changes. And, you know, you kind of had the coming out party for Klingberg, so you knew you could adjust a few things. You know, Sagan and Benn were becoming far more dangerous. You adjust a little bit of your play to that, but keeping them involved. And the other part of it is, look, Jamie Benn he's a top player in this league. He's a superstar in this league right now. And he's a captain of that team. And I thought Lindy was really – I appreciated how honest he was about that part of the leadership. Not a rah-rah guy, but a guy you have to work with and as a leader and is getting better and is important in that room. Really, anytime you can talk and pick the brain of someone like Lindy Ruff, that is a good day. So thank you to him, and thanks to the Dallas Stars for making that happen. Really appreciate that. we're going to come back and continue like we normally do with our good friend Derek Wills, radio voice of the Calgary Flames. Not a great road trip, not where the Flames want to be. Some pretty important things said by some pretty important players on this team. And we'll talk. Derek also wants to share a little bit of a Jamie Benn story from the American. He didn't spend a lot of time in the American Hockey League, but spent a little time there. So that's all coming up. That was Lindy Ruff, Inside Hockey, here on Flames at 5. For Pete the Plumber, the superhero of residential plumbing and heating, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Inside Hockey, brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Check out the local produce, meat, and baked goods brought up fresh from Co-op's farm team.
Let's talk hockey. 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Flames at 5, brought to you by Pete the Plumber, the superheroes of plumbing and heating. Call 403-257-1766 or find us at PeteThePlumber.com for all your plumbing and heating needs.
When obviously you try new things. We've been in some games that we feel like we, you know, deserve more points in, but it's just frustrating to be obviously where we are in the standings, but we have to, you know, you can't come to the rink and feel sorry for ourselves. We can make this happen. We can turn it around and get right back into it. We just got to start with one game, start doing the little things defensively, and then go from there.
Mark Giordano, the captain of the Calgary Flames, talking today about the frustration. And no doubt this is a frustrated group. Derek Wills is the radio voice of the Calgary Flames. He, too, is frustrated. We're all frustrated. We all love to have the answer if we have the answer. And the part of my frustration, and I'll be honest with you, Derek, is completely selfish, because if I had the answer, I'd sell it and I'd retire. More people are more, you know, magnanimous about wanting to get this team rolling. I'm very selfish. But having said that, frustration, I think, the word of the day around this club.
And no doubt about it, Rob. And, I mean, the team should be better than it has been. I think that's what's frustrating. When you look at this group on paper, to me, there's no doubt they are a more talented team in 2015-2016 than they were in 2014-2015. So why aren't they having as much success? Well, the magic is gone. There's no doubt about that. And games that they found ways to win last season, they are finding ways to lose this season. And, you know, it was good to hear that clip from Mark Giordano. And I was really surprised when I read a quote from him. And I'll give credit where credit is due. Randy Sportak put the quote up on Twitter. And the captain, after the Flames, tough to swallow, 5-2 loss to the Sharks on Saturday night, said, "We have to start getting mad at each other in here." And that really grabbed my attention, because Mark Giordano is the kind of guy who always puts his teammates first, who is very calculated in what he says, usually tries to find positives even when negatives tend to dominate the storyline. So for him to come out and say that, and basically say that the guys inside that Flames dressing room have to start holding each other more accountable, that really caught my attention.
Yeah, it definitely did. And as you commented to me today, it seemed to carry the day. I mean, that's what everybody seemed to be talking about. And, you know, we had this conversation this afternoon with Pat. I mean, where you think this team is, we all have an opinion. Is it, you know, time to be sellers, the season's over, all those things. Inside that locker room, on the ice, I'm one of those guys that believes, you know, if it comes down to you got to win 42 games in a row, then that's what you got to put your mindset to win 42 games in a row. They've got to do something. And the body language, that game in San Jose, and maybe we can go back and talk about that road trip, but that game in San Jose, that was tough to watch.
Yeah.
Because they deserved a better fate on Friday in Arizona. I'm the first person to admit it, but they didn't get it. They needed to carry that into that game against the Sharks, and for 40 minutes, they just didn't.
Well, Rob, first to your point about having the mindset, listen, if we have to win 42 games in a row to get into the playoffs, then that's what we're going to try to do. I think you're bang on. And I know there are going to be people out there that disagree with what I'm about to say, but I don't think that at any point in time you should go into let's start thinking about next season mode. That is not the mindset you want creeping into your dressing room. And to me, as long as this team is mathematically still alive for a playoff spot, each and every guy in that room should be trying to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I agree with you 100%. But, yeah, it's been frustrating. And obviously this team had a lot higher expectations this season than they did last season. And maybe some of the guys haven't handled those expectations as well as we thought that they would. But it's still a team that I think can climb back in the race. And my broadcast partner, Peter Lombardi, has had a great hit with Pat Steinberg on Hockey Central at noon today, and very passionately said that with a good month of December, and he picked the number 9, if they can win 9 of their games in December, and they've got 9 home games, only 4 away games, then that should get them back into the fight for a playoff spot. And I agree with that. So I think this month of December really is going to be make or break for a Flames team that has picked up some momentum at Scotiabank Saddledome of late. They've won 4 in a row at home. So we'll see if they can stretch that winning streak, although we know it's not going to be easy against the Stars tomorrow.
Well, with Derek Wills, radio voice of the Calgary Flames. All right, so, you know, here we talk about whether the season's salvageable or not. That, you know, outside of the room, that's, you know, up for debate and all of that. And I'm a realist. It's an uphill battle. There's no doubt about it. But do we need to go back and you know, kind of take a look in the mirror and go, maybe we are we overestimating this team? Because I've long held the belief that you must hold the team responsible to its victories. You must hold. I don't think you can just say, "Oh, we were lucky to win." No, if you beat a good team, you beat a good team. That's the way we expect you to play all the time. Have we overestimated this team?
You know what? It's something I've really been struggling with a lot of late, Rob, and trying to figure out if I overestimated this team during the offseason. I mean, we all got caught up in their run to the playoffs last year and winning a round and all the great things they accomplished. And then they go out and seem to address a couple of glaring needs, bringing in Dougie Hamilton, a top four, maybe even top two defenseman down the road. They bring in Michael Frolik, the top right winger available in free agency. And to me, those were their biggest needs. And the reason I'm having such a difficult time really evaluating this team is goaltending. And Pat Steinberg had some great stats today talking about, you know, the Flames' numbers this season on the power play and the penalty kill, and if they were even at the league average on special teams, how many more games they'd win. And the one stat that I really thought was interesting, when he talked about team save percentage, he said the average save percentage for teams in the NHL right now is .911. Well, the Flames are well below that, and they're by far the worst as far as team save percentage. But he said if they had a .911 save percentage, that would be probably 3 wins at bare minimum. Well, 3 wins now, And instead of being 8 points out of a playoff spot, you're 2 points out of a playoff spot. So that's significant. And that doesn't even factor in the confidence that comes with winning and what kind of things that can lead to. So I'm having a tough time evaluating this team because obviously in the first 10 games, the group as a whole wasn't very good. But I really think that since about that 10 or 11 game mark, they've been a lot better. But they're not getting timely saves all that often. And I hate to kind of throw it all on the goaltenders, but until that save percentage is in the 9-11 range or so, I think it's going to be tough to really evaluate the whole group.
Yeah, and I use this analogy all the time. This team can be a bowl of spaghetti, and it's hard to figure out where the noodle starts and where the noodle ends.
Yeah.
But for me, the noodle starts with goaltending this year. And it's in this building. I mean, my God, the Hitman had to go out and get another goalie today. Yoni Ortiel goes to Stockton and gets pulled after giving up 4 goals on 12 shots in his first game, bounce back. I mean, for whatever reason, organizationally, even the other team is had a hard time, keeping that position set. But, it all boils down to that. We can talk about special teams. My God, the penalty killing is atrocious. On that road trip, they killed off 2 of 6. Two games, and you know this, I'm lecturing you, but you were there. Two games, they did a masterful job on the road of staying out of the penalty box, just, taking two minors. Well, in San Jose and Anaheim, both of those teams scored on both of those opportunities. You got to mix in a save, and, I've said it before, Derek, and I know I'm beating a drum, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're going to do anything on this team. You want to fire this guy or hire this guy or trade. You got to fix the goaltending on this team. Kari Rammo gets another chance. And to do what you're talking or to do what Peter Labardius is talking about, one of these goalies is going to have to get red hot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it. Do you?
Well, if they get average goaltending from this point on, I think that they'll still be in the hunt for a playoff spot come March, maybe even April, but I think they're going to need above average goaltending to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs for a second straight season. They almost need a guy to play at the level that Devan Dubnyk did last year for the Wild. I mean, they were out of it.
Yep.
And then he comes along and he is just a rock of Gibraltar back there. So, he helped them get back in the playoff race by playing great in goal, by giving the guys in front of him a lot more confidence to be at their best. So I think the Flames are going to need a goaltender, whether it's one of the guys who's in-house, the guy who they just send out of the house, or somebody else from outside the house to come in and really solidify that position. It's not the only problem, but I just think it's the one problem, I wouldn't say easiest to solve, because it's not easy to solve. It's not easy to make a trade or go get a guy. But if they could just solidify that one area, I think it would give the Flames a lot better chance to win. And I still think that this team, with the forwards and defensemen they have, is a team that should be in the playoffs. Now, everybody's going to have to start pulling on the rope and playing with more emotion and playing with more urgency, but I still think they can get there if they get the goaltending.
Well, it's funny because I want to pick your brain and use your background in the other league that you were in, which is the American Hockey League, because Pat and I both agreed on one thing, and I keep hearing this from people, particularly outside of Calgary. Oh, well, the Flames goaltender of the future is John Gillies. Like they know who they're, and that's fair. That's terrific, but you got to get from here to there.
Yeah,
and you know, and I know that what's a realistic timeline. 3 years? 4 years? I mean, to think that John Gillies is going to wear a cape and fly in here next year and be the starting goaltender is a little unrealistic. The Flames likely do have to look outside to find somebody to get them to that guy.
Yeah, I would think they would. And you're right. It's very rare that a goaltender doesn't play in the American Hockey League and goes right to the National Hockey League and becomes a number one guy, let alone an elite guy. Even Carey Price. And I was lucky enough to have a chance to watch him play some postseason hockey for the Hamilton Bulldogs. He had a short stint at the end of the 2006-2007 season with the team and then started the next season with the Bulldogs as well before he went to the Canadiens and eventually became, in my opinion, the top goaltender in the game. Even a guy like Pekka Rinne, he spent considerable time with the Milwaukee Admirals before, he got up and became an elite goaltender. So most guys do have to spend considerable time. I think forwards develop the quickest, not talking about specific players, but in general. Defensemen probably second, and I think goaltenders are third. Usually it takes goaltenders 3, 4, 5 years to really get to the point where they can go from the AHL or go from being a backup to a starter and then being able to take the ball and run with it and play 60, 65 games. So I think it's maybe a little unfair to assume that John Gillies is going to be ready to go in a year or two. I think he's a really good young goaltender. I think they need one of him or Mason McDonald to turn out, and the Flames will be set in goal for a number of years. But because they take so long to develop, you just never know how these goaltenders are going to pan out at the professional level. So I think they're going to need a stopgap, whether that guy be here for a year or two or three or four. And I guess we'll have to wait and see if that guy's in-house right now.
And we'll stay on that theme of the American League for a second. The Dallas Stars are in town tomorrow, and they have one of the best players going in Jamie Benn. And not too far off is Klingberg and Seguin. But Jamie Benn's a special hockey player. There's no shortage of people referring to him as the best left winger in the game right now. You can tell me a little bit about a very short stint he had in the American League, right?
Yeah. He actually never played a regular season game in the American Hockey League. And I was lucky. My 13 years in Hamilton, the Bulldogs had some really good teams. And in 2002, 2003, they were a split between the Canadiens and the Oilers. 2006, 2007, they won a Calder Cup with a team that was made up of a bunch of overachievers. But the best team I ever saw was in 2009, 2010. They had P.K. Subban, David Desharnais, Max Pacioretty. It was a team that I really thought on paper was the best Bulldogs team that I had seen. So they get to the Western Conference Finals, and they're taking on the Texas Stars AHL affiliate, or the Dallas Stars AHL affiliate, the Texas Stars. And I remember when those Calder Cup playoffs started, Rob, the Dallas Stars decided to send Jamie Benn to the American Hockey League for some postseason action. Now, Benn, in his first professional season, played 82 NHL regular season games and had a heck of a year. He scored 22 goals, produced 41 points. So I remember when he got sent down, we're like, what, are you kidding me? Like, this guy's a legitimate superstar in the making. You're sending him to the AHL? Well, the Bulldogs ran into the Stars in the conference finals, and the funny thing about Benn, it was just almost too easy for him. You wouldn't notice him for like 57, 58 minutes a game. Oh, and then he'd score two goals in the other 2 minutes. I mean, he just seemed to score at will. Ended up with 14 goals and 26 points in 24 postseason games in the AHL, and never returned to the league, but it was probably a great experience for him and getting some postseason hockey under his belt. And because of that, the only time I can really cheer for Jamie Benn is when he's got a maple leaf on his chest, and I think he will for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I don't think I think you're bang on about that. You know, the Flames have their issues, and they got to work through them, but I'm very interested to see the Dallas Stars tomorrow night because, you know, I hate to be that guy, but, you know and I know how this works. Last year, everybody was comparing the Flames to the Colorado Avalanche and the Dallas Stars the year before. And what happened? They didn't make the playoffs, and now the Flames are struggling. Yet Dallas is back. Now, Colorado still might be back, but Dallas intrigues me a lot because it would have been easy to rip that apart and move on, but, you know, they weathered the storm, they stayed the course, they made some adjustments, and now they look like a really good team. I think there's a lesson to be learned in there.
Oh, absolutely, and I thought it was really interesting what Lindy Ruff said to you when you guys were chatting a little while ago about how important the end of last season was for him. And I hope it doesn't get to this point where the Flames, where this season becomes – you know, preparing for next season. But he said he learned a lot about the players he had and who would step up and become a leader and who would take responsibility for some of the team's struggles and help the group get turned around. And they turned themselves around last season, and they clearly carried some of that momentum into this season. So, again, I hope it doesn't get to that point for the Flames, but I think during tough times is when you really learn about people. And that's something Peter Laborteus has been saying over and over and over again all season long. Because the Flames have been going through some tough times. So you want to see who steps up and who helps you get through these tough times. And I think those are the people you want to go forward with. So, again, I hope the Flames don't get to that point, but we'll see who helps them get out of these tough times now. And, you know, the Dallas Stars, they're a tough test for the Calgary Flames tomorrow night. But at this point in time, you can't worry about how good or how bad the team is you're playing. You got to start beating a lot of teams, and you have to do it regularly. So we'll see if the Flames can get a big win. And I think if they play like they played in that home game against the Blackhawks versus the Stars tomorrow, we'll have a chance to win the game.
Appreciate this, my friend. We'll see you down here tomorrow. Derek, enjoy your evening, and we will talk to you again at this time Tuesday as we get set for the Flames and the Dallas Stars. Thanks, pal.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
Derek Wills, radio voice of the Calgary Flames, joining us here on Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber, the superhero of residential plumbing and heating. A lot on my mind. And guess what? I'm going to share it with you when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Flames at 5, brought to you by Pete the Plumber, the superheroes of plumbing and heating. Call 403-257-1766 or find us at PeteThePlumber.com for all your plumbing and heating needs.
Let's talk hockey. 60 minutes on ice. The Flames at 5 is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Calgary Flames and the NHL.
Yeah, obviously last year went a lot differently than this year is going. And, you know, I think on paper we've said it before, we probably have a better team than we did last year. But I don't think we lack passion or excitement in this room at all. But getting a little mad on the ice is one way to start.
That's Brandon Bolig. That's the theme, guys. That's the theme, gang. When you're down here at practice today, the Calgary Flames, look, we're not telling tales out of school. That road trip didn't go well. The season has not gone well. They come home. They've got a five-game homestand spanning essentially the next 2 weeks. And the opponents, okay, Buffalo's in there, but they're better this year, and they're going to be looking at you as the free meal on the, the free spot on the bingo card. But you got the Rangers coming in. You got tomorrow it's the Dallas Stars. You've got good teams coming in here. And it's that whole idea of anger. When you go and you talk to a struggling team, you are looking for the right things to be said. But they're just words. Deeds versus words. Actions speak louder than words. We've said that a million times. This is a hockey club that I have seen things from this year that leads me to believe they are better than they're showing, that they're capable. I think they're capable of being better. We just talked to Derek Wills, and he had the honest moment of, maybe I overestimated this team. Sorry. So I sit here today, I didn't overestimate this team. Because if I say I overestimated this team, then I'm kind of letting them off the hook and saying, oh, poor them. They're not that. They are. They should be better than this. They will tell you that. That's why this conversation has turned to anger. But it needs to manifest itself on the ice. And it has not happened to this point. You know, I listened to the morning show today, and I got a great deal of respect for those guys. And I think they come at it from a different perspective. And you know, their conversation are about, becoming sellers. And it's over. You may as well look towards next year. And I get it. I understand that. I respect that. And quite honestly, I think that's where a lot of people are right now. Just how difficult it is to move in the West, how difficult it is to gain ground in the NHL. I can get that point, but you can't let your foot off, because the minute that this group has got to keep moving forward, this coaching staff has got to keep this group moving forward. Because if you have a blah season and you just excuse it away, are you undoing the work that you put into this? Now look at the Dallas Stars. Terrible start last year, and then we're like bats out of hell the rest of the way. We had Lindy Ruff on earlier this hour on Inside Hockey, and he said that laid the foundation. That laid the foundation. Didn't like missing the playoffs, especially how well they – look, if that team had made the playoffs, considering how well they were playing, they would have been a handful. They didn't make it. Started off good this year. I go back to Jay Feaster. Jay Feaster got in trouble here in Calgary – because the days after he traded Jerome McGinley and Jay Bouwmeester and accumulated draft picks, and clearly they were having some fun with it, although I never completely understand it. Oh, we don't want to use the R word. We don't, avoid using the R word. It was rebuilding. They didn't want to say rebuilding. They were rebuilding. Jay Feaster got into trouble because as he's talking about the need to rebuild here in Calgary, he said that ownership still contends that this team should push for a playoff spot. And a lot of people here got upset, because they felt they were hearing two different things out of the same mouth. Well, they weren't. Yes, this team needed to get young. Yes, this team needed to rebuild. But you have to keep the pressure. You have to have expectations. And to me, the minute you say, well, the season's over, you take that expectation away. You've got young guys here that have long, promising careers ahead of them. Sam Bennett, Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, TJ Brody, all these guys. You got to keep moving this thing forward. It's an uphill battle. That's pro sports. There's going to be winners and there's going to be losers. But what is unacceptable is a team that does not go out and try. What's unacceptable is a team or organization that rolls over. And I'm not suggesting that that is what's happening or going to happen, but that's what you need to avoid. So when you hear the players today talking about getting mad and fired up and everything, I don't know. maybe they're too far gone. Maybe this group won't work. Maybe. There's all of these maybes. But I know this. There's nothing coming down the pipe in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, that's going to turn their fortunes and guarantee them anything. They've got to work themselves out of it. And so often in the past, and I know I keep beating this dead horse, but what does everybody talk about? We always talk about trades. Are they sellers? Everybody keeps talking about a trade around here. Eventually, there probably will be some trades. But not to help right now. Unless you turn this around and get to the deadline and add a piece, then maybe. But there's nothing that exterior circumstance or force that's going to come in and save this season. Calgary Flames have got to continue to take ownership of it. They've got to continue to say the right things. But more importantly, they got to find a way to do the right things. You look at that game against Chicago a couple of weeks ago, their last game at the Dome, there's a lot of right there. That's what you got to go back. You can't, and I've heard them say this a million times, and it's absolutely true, and maybe they've said it too much and they don't believe it anymore. But you can't win 10 games in a row in one night. You can only win one game. And as depressing and as upset and as angry as fans are, and as, you know, the media want to bury them, and that's fine, that's our prerogative, that's what we do. This team owes it to itself to go out and continue to try and push this rock up the hill. That's what they have to do. And if it takes getting mad, fine. If it takes a fight in the dressing room, fine. Whatever. You know, we're at that point, team-only meeting and all of these things that, you know, we love to, you know, put the value on. Whatever floats their boat, whatever's going to get them through the night is what they need to do at this point in juncture in time. As an aside, very interested to see the Dallas Stars tomorrow. Lindy Ruff's crew is second best in the league, only to the Montreal Canadiens, one of the best road records. Lindy made reference to it. They were playing back-to-back games. I think they were at home to Vancouver, and then they went into Minnesota on Sunday. They were down 3-0 to the Minnesota Wild, scored 3 goals in the third period on the road, won it in overtime. Sound familiar, kids? Yeah, we've seen that movie before. Hot teams have a confidence that cold teams don't. And right now, this Dallas Stars team is a hot team. Jamie Benn, we know. Sagan, we know. The guy we're getting to know is John Klingberg on defense. Might have seen him a little bit last year, maybe seen him on TV, but I'm really curious to see this guy up close and personal. You know, you talk about the development of this game globally. Boy, the Swedes right now are just pumping out defensemen, are they not? Like there's no tomorrow. Carlson, you know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Hedman, young Adam Larsson in New Jersey's getting better and better. Klingberg, there, you know, the Flames have got two of them, Rasmus Anderson. Anderson is. Josh, help me out. Anderson, Swedish, right? Shillington, Swedish. So the Flames have, and they've got a couple handful of the Swedish defensemen. They're a going concern right now. Really curious to see what the Dallas Stars are all about tomorrow. All right. That's it. We've done all the damage we can do. We can do no more damage today. We'll reset. The boys will join you in the morning. We've got a little Monday Night Football as Baltimore is in Cleveland to take on the Browns. Thanks to all of our guests, including Arash Madani, our CFL insider, good enough to join us this afternoon on the program. Eric DeHatchuk, if you haven't checked it out, Slapshot Diaries, his 60 and 60. Eric's turned 60, lists his 60 top concerts he's ever gone to. Okay, you might say, but that's not, no, trust me, read it, you'll dig it. And also want to thank the Dallas Stars and Lindy Ruff for making the coach available to talk to us today. Have a great day. We'll be back with you tomorrow. It's a game day. We'll take you right up to puck drop tomorrow night. It's just a game. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.